What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast, a podcast for all of your fandom needs. I'm your host, Dylan Huntsinger. We are part of the Believe Network, and I am joined by a couple of my co-hosts here. First of all, we've got my wife sitting to my left after she has totally knackered her car. Chelsea, how are you doing?
What?
It's what Blonsky said to She-Hulk.
I rarely understand your references.
It's a bit knackered.
Okay.
Silly. Okay. And then dang it. I forgot what okay. Yeah, I got you. And then also joining us again this week, he has conquered the illness, he's conquered the sickness. But he has had his dragon stolen from him. We've got the one, the only, Alex Roig. Alex, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Doharis, everybody, Doharis.
There you go. Well, hey, as you guys know, we've been covering the two shows that are kind of on, like, raging in fandom right now with She-Hulk and House of the Dragon. So we're going to jump right into that. Last week, Alex wasn't here because he was sick. Me and Chelsea held down the fort. There were some fun episodes, but I kind of liked both of these episodes better than last week. So let's get into it first. We'll start with She-Hulk because we already know Chelsea hates the show, so let's rip the Band-Aid off so we can move on. But in this episode, before we get to end this episode, the thing that kind of not really annoyed me, but I think annoyed a lot of the other people in the past couple episodes was, as she said, like, this is a self-contained wedding episode, and it was like the Titania arc, and I don't feel like the whole Titania arc went well at all. And
it hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, the Titania arc, no, but like the parts of the show that people have really enjoyed is her interacting with people like Wong, like Emil Blonsky, Abomination. So it was a real breath of fresh air to see Emil Blonsky back in the picture in this episode.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Emil being in there, not necessarily Abomination. Like, he has a knack for comedy. He has a knack for, especially in this role where he's like a, he's currently like a namaste. He's currently like he's rehabilitated, I guess, a rehabilitated, monster mutant person. So it's just fun to see him, in his bag as far as Emil Blonsky.
Yeah, man, and the character development of Abomination is crazy because, like, they did it when they first introduced you. They made you think, like, in the back of your mind, like, okay, he's putting on a good show so he can get out of his prison, of his holding, whatever. And even still, like, when the news came out that he had, broke out and he was fighting in a club, that's what it made you think about. And then in this episode, the whole reason that she rendezvous with Blonsky again is because his parole officer said that his inhibitor bracelet or whatever was malfunctioning. And, he was worried that he had violated the terms of parole and became Abomination. And it makes you, like, they continue to make you think that Blonsky's gonna go bad, but once you get down to the root of it, Blonsky's just trying to live his life, man.
He just had to get his chicken back.
Daggone right. What was it? Princess Silk something? Princess Silk Feather?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Princess Silk Feather. I mean, with a name like that, you got to get it back. But yeah,
I mean, in the end, I still think that there is ulterior motives with Blonsky.
Yeah, I think he's gonna go bad again.
Wow. Are they gonna bait and switch me? Like they made me think it twice, and so like I let my guard down,
I
and the
think
third time I'm just
they
gonna be like,
have
oh.
to.
Well,
How many episodes are left? Two?
two, yep. There's two She-Hulk and there's three Vice of Dragon. So, rock and roll. Yeah, I mean, the big thing with Blonsky is, he kind of set up this retreat and it has the best name. I don't know if it was a name or if it was just like a motivational
Yeah,
poster,
I think it
but
just poster.
Abomasnay, like abomination and Namaste mixed together. I saw it on the wall and I literally cackled.
He laughed out loud.
It was hilarious. And like, if you just look around the posters on the wall, like there was one that kind of made sense, but there was one that literally said, today is today.
Well, what's funny is it has like the whole camp has very authentic looking, like, for like a namaste type of place, but then you have these like funny posters that, don't really fit the vibe but are ironic and funny.
Yeah. And there's obviously like the whole subplot going on of the continuation of the love story with Josh and Jen in this episode, but like sticking with the what happened at the, I don't want to say retreat, what do you call it, like what do you call the place, the sanctuary?
I don't have an answer for you, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm drawing a blank. I'm sure Alex is gonna come on here and call us an idiot for not knowing it, but
Where did he go?
they said give him a second.
Oh.
But yeah, I
Oh,
mean,
sorry.
it took place here, and it's like I was saying with Blonsky, like everybody's just expecting him to do bad, but not only is he doing good for himself, he's doing good by other people. Like he's rehabilitating other people's lives and he's helping them deal with their problems, like people with powers, I should say.
Sure. Can we talk about these people with powers? Where'd they come from? Who are they? Why do they exist?
Well, you got Mamble, which
An experiment gone wrong. I gathered that much.
you've got the guy that definitely is not a matador. I
The
can't
guy
remember
that
his name.
is definitely not a vampire, but thinks he's a vampire.
Do we know unequivocally he's not a vampire?
That's what Blonsky kept saying.
No,
Or
Blonsky said that Blonsky thinks he's a vampire.
I don't
He was
know.
like, that's Saracen. I think he's a vampire.
I don't know. I
But
hate all of it.
the whole Easter egg with Saracen is actually kind of important because, maybe not necessarily for
Yeah, I
She-Hulk,
mean,
but like, the Dark Verse, because whenever she's telling him about Josh and how Josh has basically curbed her and ghosted her, they all
yeah,
get
maybe
mad
he
and they
just
want to
wants
lash
to
out.
take your blood.
Yeah, he's like, let's go suck his blood. And
No, he said maybe he was trying to take your blood.
yeah, he did, but like after like he got riled up, he
Right.
was like, let's go suck his blood. I want to go devour him. And they was like, that sounds like something your dad would do. And he's like, don't talk about my dad. I'm not saying his dad's Dracula, but it is possible that his dad is Dracula and somebody that we will meet in Blade, Werewolf by Night, one of those types of films. So that could be interesting, playing out down the road.
Yeah.
But the guy that we meet once again, I don't even remember what his real name was. I don't even think they allude to what his real name is, but he was a member of the, and I use this generously, the quote unquote wrecking crew, the guy that had the enchanted crowbar that Jen beat up before. And as soon as Jen saw him,
She's ready to tussle.
she's like, it's game time. I'm gonna throw that dude in the chairs that Mamble just stacked up.
Sorry, I tried to hold it.
Yeah. Chelsea, if some if you just fix something up or stack something up and somebody knocked it over, how would you feel about it?
Unhappy.
Unhappy. But there was kind of a breakthrough, you know, it goes back to like, you know, what Blonsky's talking about. And the guy kind of realized, like, he had like self-realization, like, hey, I don't need a crowbar to be powerful or find purpose. Like, I can find purpose within myself, like, you know, like super like deep. And then in like a turn of events, he ends up being the one that is the catalyst that helps Jen move past this Josh guy who A is a twat and B has nefarious intentions, like I said in the last episode.
Yeah. I have nothing
I was
nice
about
to
to say,
say, so
you just said
I'm
yeah. I'm like, okay, that's great thought, Chelsea.
sorry. I'm trying to think of how to not be the most negative possible.
Okay, well, anyways,
I got nothing.
hopefully Alex can get back on here so we can rate the episode and move on because Chelsea is already tapped out mentally in this on
Well,
the
let's
show.
just say, like, from the beginning of the episode, or, well, not from the beginning, from, like, obviously they hook up and then she spends the entirety of the episode, like, annoyingly checking her phone. I get it, but why did it have to be so much of the episode? Because it was a lot of the episode. And then the end of it was all like, okay, resolution, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have nothing nice to say.
Well, let's get into like the nefarious intentions. You know, Josh is apparently a member of that intelligentsia gang that they found on the internet last
He's a
episode.
bastard.
don't necessarily know that, but
No, yeah, we do.
did we?
Yeah, because he's like intelligentsia is like a dark web like hacker type place, and like he just put his phone on top of hers and copied information. Like
Hey,
go
so
ahead.
how far did you guys get into like what the intelligentsia was in the
I
last episode?
just first mentioned right here.
Oh, okay. Well, that is a very important like group, especially when we're talking about like Doctor Doom and Battleworld and probably Secret Wars coming up. That is a very important group if they stay true to the comics.
They don't
So
do
I'm,
that
you
very
know,
often these days.
they don't, but I mean, like if they're, you know, they're bringing MODOK into Captain America 4, you know, if they're bringing, you know, different parts of like Red Hulk, Harrison Ford may, you know, the rumor is he may play Red Hulk. You know, if they're bringing all that into the fold, then I don't think that they're going to stray too far from it, or they may just use it as a vehicle. But I was very excited to see Intelligentsia. I was very excited to see that. I was very excited to kind of see how they kind of reformatted it to our day and age as a dark web type website. But yeah, I was hella excited when I saw them. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know, you know, trying to get I, you know trying to get She-Hulk's blood. I get it. I 100% get it. And you know, I
How
was just
did they
excited to
get
see
it
them.
is what I want
Yeah, like I don't know. That was confusing because, like, you know, like we mentioned, Alex Saracen was like, and maybe he's just after your blood. Like, apparently that's what he was after all along. But then we see he copies all of her information onto his phone, and he texts a guy that's called the Hulk King, and he just
know.
sends like syringes, like blood emojis, making you think that he got her blood. And it's like, okay, how? But he also took a picture of her naked and sleeping, I suppose, as blackmail, or not blackmail, but I don't know, just to be a douchebag. But I
I mean,
don't know, man.
it's like I look at that and I remember the scene from Kingsman 2, where he had to, you know, place a certain bug somewhere inside a mucous membrane. And I'm like, if something like that happened, Disney Plus kind of intimating that, or I doubt they are, but you're gonna feel if somebody stabs you with a needle, regardless of whether you're a Hulk or you're a human, you're gonna feel when somebody stabs you with a needle to
Oh
get
yeah.
blood.
Yeah. And she was like nearly impossible to stab with the needle before, so like how?
And like She-Hulk protects her. Like
Yeah.
that's the thing. Like if he would have done something, I'm pretty sure she would have like transformed into a She-Hulk. Like, if she would have felt any type of pain, she would have
True.
transformed into She-Hulk right then and there.
She'd been done, she'd be ready to scrap, just like when she saw the dude from the, again, quote unquote, wrecking crew. So
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was funny right there.
yeah,
She saw him and she was like, "Yo, I'm ready to battle. Let's go."
we've kind of touched on most of the episode, Alex. You hurting for a yurt, and you got anything else you want to add on to it before we rate?
Porcupine was awesome. I thought that whole crew was awesome. I could see that's the beautiful thing about like this show has been like the has been the side characters in every episode. Like that's been I think a great thing from this show. It's kind of taken away from the entire from She-Hulk and Jennifer Walters herself, and that's a little bit worrying. But the side characters have all been great on this in this series.
Yep, I really enjoyed a lot of interactions with the group. Chelsea just not as much.
And
It's
it's like
not that I
the
don't think they're funny or anything, but like, can we get
it's
to the
disjointed.
actual point of the show? Can we actually like get somewhere? I know it's supposed to be like a comedy, and I know it's supposed to be funny, but it's so distracting from everything else. It should be like, it's kind of like Thor Love and Thunder. It's like there was too much funny and not enough actual plot, and we've got two episodes left and there's still not a lot of plot.
I think I think the problem with this is that we are looking at it as an MCU property, as as something that leads to an end, which I mean it may, the intelligentsia may, it may lead to something in the end. But I also think that us looking at it like an MCU like movie or like a chopped up movie, as a lot of these series have been, has kind of hurt the sitcomness of this show. I think this show was completely intended to be just like a sitcom, where you have like a series of 8 to 10 episodes, and you just have different things happening in each episode, and that's why to us it seems extremely disjointed because. Like she says, this is the one-off wedding episode, or this is
Yeah.
the, and so I think if you look at it that way, if you're looking at it to be like something Marvel, like we've seen from Marvel in the past, I think like you, Chelsea, I think you're going to be disappointed. Whereas if you start to look at it as, hey, this is its own thing, it's a sitcom, it's a series, and they're going to have just episodes where you have filler episodes that add a little information to it, but in the end, it's just going to be, standalone episodes on their own. Then I think you start to appreciate it maybe a little bit more.
Chelsea nods for
I
the
nod,
audio
yeah.
listener.
I'm thinking.
I will say, like, with what is it, two episodes left now?
Yes. Yeah, they need to speed it up.
Yeah, I mean, with two episodes left, like, A, I don't really know where we're going, and B, I don't know if we're gonna have enough time to get there. And it makes you think, like, do they have plans for a She-Hulk season two? Is this gonna bleed in? Like, I mean, we know from D23 this does bleed into Captain America: New World Order. We know that Daredevil is supposed to appear some point in this show.
I know, like we've completely forgotten that he's supposed to appear on this show.
I mean, if it's not next episode, I don't know what's going on. Unless like she's supposed to appear in the new Daredevil show, which hey, it's possible. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like two episodes, like I'm enjoying the show for what it is. Like I'm not like looking at it from like critical lenses or anything like that. Like it's a funny show, there's fun characters, cool things happen. Like I'm enjoying it for what it is. But like at the same time, two episodes, like I don't know what to expect with what we have left.
Here's the way I see it. Like, I anticipate House of the Dragon. When it comes to She-Hulk, oh, it's Thursday. Oh, I got 30 minutes for lunch. Let me go ahead and watch it. And that's how I, you know, that's how I, you know, that's how I kind of, you know, think of it. I anticipate House of the Dragon. Like, I love that show. That show is great. She-Hulk, it's Thursday. I'm on my lunch break. Let me watch it. You know, that type of stuff.
Yep, I got you, man. Boy, let's get your rating so we can talk about the highly anticipated House of the Dragon. Chelsea, start with you. What's your rating for this episode? Set the tone.
Mid.
Mid. Say it like you want to say
Mid.
it. All right, Chelsea thinks it's mid. Alex, what about you?
Mid.
Haters. I
Peer
mean,
pressure, peer pressure,
no,
peer
no peer
pressure.
pressure. I'm giving it one thumbs up.
Whatever. It was not one of them.
It there was enjoyable moments. I enjoy getting to see
Need
some
more pug.
Emil Blonsky. Yeah, I'm
What's up, Paul?
the pug's exclusion is I'm not a fan of it, but you know, other than that, like I enjoyed the
But
episode.
yo, hold on. Did you discuss anything about Nikki breaking the fourth wall almost?
Yeah, I think I mentioned that about new rock stars, like had that theory about
Like her jewelry.
no, I didn't get like super deep into it. If you want to break it down, you can.
I don't even know what you're talking
No,
about.
I just thought it was very interesting that, you know, number one, she kind of looked at the camera in that one scene. But then number two, if you look at her jewelry that she has on, she has almost like a pentagram as a necklace charm, number one. And then number two, if you look at her earring is the same, pendant as what's her name's
Harkness, Agatha.
Agatha Harkness's necklace. And so I'm wondering if she's like of the same
Sheesh.
coven or something like that, or is maybe she's
Bro.
West Coast witch while Agatha is East Coast witch.
I mean, if you were trying to set up the Agatha Harkness Coven of Chaos show and like get people excited about it, having Nikki back. Having Nikki in the show, you know, like people have really enjoyed Nikki and She-Hulk. That could definitely drive some viewers, I think. So you might be on
Yeah,
something,
which is
Alex.
interesting. It was definitely new rock stars, you know, EA Voss and then MT and what's her name, Jenny Clemons. They all brought it up, and I was just like, oh crap, yeah, that's right. And you know, Marvel doesn't do anything, you know, they don't
On
do anything
accident.
on accident, so it's
Yeah.
definitely probably has some bearing there.
Yep, I guess, man. Well, hey, Alex, me and you have been talking a lot this episode. So, Chelsea, now that we're moving on to what you want to talk about, I'm gonna let you open it.
I can't do that.
You can't
You
do
know, you have to ask me questions. My brain doesn't work that
that.
way.
Okay, well, in this episode of House of the Dragon, we open up in Driftmark, and a lot of crap happens. Like, a lot of crap happens. First of all, I just want to say this is one of the weirdest funerals I've ever seen in my life. They was referring to it on the Talk to Thrones on House of R Ringerverse. They was saying this is the only funeral in the history of funerals that has a cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Well,
And underage drinking.
it's more of like a visitation mixed with like a funeral, like a wake, like all in one, you know? Or like you go to a funeral and then everybody, you have like a meal or whatever after, and everyone pretends like they weren't just like bawling their eyes out in the actual funeral service and just like scarfing down food and catching up with people.
Forming alliances.
I mean, in real life, I'm
Yeah.
talking about like at a real funeral.
Forming
I mean, that's.
No, we're not forming alliances at real funerals.
I mean that. Hey, I've always said that a lot of people go to church just to form alliances in business and stuff like that. They don't necessarily go to church, you know, to to praise and worship. They go to church as a as another place where they can go ahead and network, and
Yeah.
so, you know, funerals, weddings, it's
There's
all the same thing to some
definitely
people.
networking going on at the funeral.
Anyways, you know, in this like this whole weird funeral setup, there's a lot going on. So first of all, you see Otto Hightower, he's back in the fold, he's got his
Guess
hand of the
who's back?
king, huh?
Guess who's back?
He's got the hand of the king pendant. He's touching it any chance he gets. He's very
He
excited to be
sucks. Why is
there.
he just sitting there fondling it? That's so freaking annoying. It just makes me so
You
mad.
see Aegon, like while Corlys's brother is going through the whole funeral service, and you know he's talking, you know, Valyrian. Like you see Aegon, he's just sitting there yawning, like wanting to be anywhere else. And you know, just the whole scene, you kind of see like you kind of see people like kind of realize where they are and what they need to do. Like there's a moment when we first see Rhaenyra, and she's just kind of looking around the crowd. And in that moment, like you could argue, like she's thinking, who's on my side here? Because you know, obviously her dad's in
Yeah.
Alicent's pocket. And you know, her husband is off in the ocean mourning. Corvus is like, go retrieve your
Struggling.
patron, to Carl with a Q. And then obviously Harwin.
Quarrel.
Yeah,
Carl.
obviously Harwin was burned down at Harrenhal. So Rhaenyra is starting to like wonder, where's my allies? Like, who do I actually have on my side? And that's when she sees Daemon.
She's scoping out her uncle.
You gotta talk
Yeah.
louder, babe.
I can't.
You can't.
I'm so
Okay.
tired.
So
So
good.
what was interesting to me was it number one, I would like to know how much time passed between, you know, Lena's death and her funeral, because I mean, what's his name became the hand very quickly. Like it was just literally like the next day he's the hand. And so I'm just wondering, you know, as far as customs, as far as like, you know, Driftmark, as far as Valyrian's customs, is there like a certain period of time that passes before, you know, they have a funeral, they have a wake like that. And then number two, I loved the shot where like you see like the panning view of Driftmark, and you see all the dragons, because in Game of Thrones they always talked about how, you know, all these dragons would be kind of like perched up on these places, and it would just show like a big intimidating force of just having all these weapons there. And so it was kind of cool to see, you know, I believe it was Caraxes, I believe it was Syrax, I believe it was Myrax. I think that's Rhaenys' dragon. And probably even like, you know, Sun was it Sunfire and Dreamfire, which
Sunfire,
are,
Dreamfire, Sea Smoke.
yeah, Sea Smoke. And then also, you know, Vhagar, you know, flying high above all of them. So I always thought it was just, you know, to see that scene right there is what, you know, is the scene that they always talked about in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we do be loving some dragons. Anytime there's some dragons show up, I'm excited. But you know, kind of talking about dragons, you know, kind of talking about, you know, the funeral and everything, and like what Rhaenyra was doing. Like, this whole episode is really about drawing a line in the sand. Like, alliances are starting to form. I mean, Rhaenyra even had a roll credits moment when she referred to Daemon, referred to Alicent's side to Daemon as the Greens, you know, Greens and Blacks. And, you know, it all kind of came to a head in that meeting room after. You know, something terrible happened, which Chelsea's like, you're jumping ahead. So we'll get to that in a second. But you know, the lines were like, you could literally see the two sides as the camera was like facing down, like looking at the entire room. So yeah, I mean, let's get into it. So Aemon Targaryen kind of sucks.
You know what, though? As much as he sucks, I really enjoyed watching him Right, Vhagar.
Ugh.
I don't want, I like, you don't want him to get Vhagar because Laena just died, and it's all very like, I don't like, it's riddled with like, you've got mixed feelings about it all. Obviously, Laena's kids feel some type of way, everybody feels some type of way about it, but it was just really cool to see him because we haven't seen anyone except Dany. You know, like bond with a dragon like that. All the other relationships we see with their dragons are already established. So,
Yeah, when
like,
they're born.
yeah. And considering we just saw last episode, he nearly got burnt by, I don't know which dragon it was. Like, it was kind of,
Dream fire.
yeah, he was kind of rewarding to watch him actually succeed. And then obviously he sucks and, you know, he's never going to be redeemable again. But I enjoyed that part.
See. See, I don't see. I look at Aemon, and I enjoy his character because, unlike Aegon, who's basically given everything, he's basically, told that he's going to be the heir, and he's given everything. Aemon is the second born son, and so, Aemon, I see a lot of Daemon in Aemon. As far as how they act, as far as them fighting for what they want, them going after what they want. I really enjoyed his character, and I know, and here's the thing. So I watch a show called what's it called? The Last Kingdom on Netflix, and it deals with 1300s England and the joining the Saxons and all that stuff. And one of the characters on there, his name is Ospar. He's a bastard son of one of the people on there. And so Ospar is going to play grown up Aemon. And so that's why I kind of enjoy seeing him on the show. And I want to see what he's like in episode 8. But I enjoy the character. I know he's going to have, I know he's the Greens. And I know he's going to have, they're going to have fights against each other and blah, blah, blah. But I really enjoyed the buildup of the character in this moment where he had to go get his own dragon. He was made fun of a couple episodes ago with the pink dread, and everybody else has their own dragon, and he finally got his, and damn it, he got the biggest one of the lot.
Yeah, I mean, I even think what he said after the fight and everything goes down, he says, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not that worried about it because I'll give up my eye for a dragon. It's like, it really is a pretty fair trade at the end of the day. And
And I mean,
even Otto's like, hey, he's not wrong. Like, that kid's smart.
I mean, and it's not just any dragon. It's
Yeah,
Vhagar,
the
the
biggest.
biggest one, the biggest one.
Yeah, dude gave me Draco and Malfoy vibes. Like Draco Malfoy vibes, like the whole
Oh,
episode.
he even said something like when they were getting ready to fight that.
Was when it was fighting, like the way he said, like the way he called him bastard, like it gave me
No,
mudblood
he
energy.
said something like so specific that Draco said.
But
I can't remember.
it's funny because like you see like the full gamut of Aemon Targaryen, because like early in the episode, during the funeral, like he almost looks like he wants to go say something to the Valyrian girls, like to comfort them over like their loss of their mother, but he doesn't because he sees Jace. Is it
Jace.
Jace? Okay, yeah. He sees Jace go over there, and they ain't like that. So, I mean, and you kind of see the methodical nature of him. Whenever Aegon's talking about how he doesn't want to marry his sister, and Aemon's like, "I would, like, if
Yeah,
it
that
was
was
my
a really
duty."
interesting conversation to me.
Yeah, he's like, if it was my duty, like to strengthen the bloodline, strengthen the clan, like absolutely, I would. I don't see why you're being such a twat
Hated
about it.
hypocrite.
Such fun about everything. And then, I mean, he sicks Otto on Aegon later, like whenever Aegon's passed out in the staircase. Like we just see Otto go and find him and kick him and wake him up and bring him, but we see Aemon there as the camera pans away, kind of indicating that Aemon brought Otto there. Whether that was to like help Aegon, like sober up, whether it was, to cast punishment on Aegon, or whether it was to get people out of his hair so he could go do what he has already decided he's going to do, and that is to go find Vhagar and basically claim Vhagar. And the whole scene, I think it did a really good job of depicting that claiming a dragon isn't an easy task. It's literally life or death.
Well, they describe it as his circumstance with Vhagar specifically is Vhagar was testing him. And if he had fallen off to his death, it would have been no hair off Vhagar's back. Then he wouldn't have been a formidable rider and Vhagar wouldn't have bonded with him. But Vhagar was like, okay, you got the chops.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because whenever Jon took Rhaegal in Game of Thrones, it was kind of easy.
Yeah, it was instantaneous.
Like,
And it is sometimes that way, but sometimes it's not.
yeah, but it wasn't as satisfying to see Jon just
Okay,
take
let's
it
not
and then
pretend like
aim on
we all of our
earn
jaws
it.
were not needing to be picked up off the floor whenever John mounted Rhaegal and rode him. Let's not pretend.
I don't think I was that shocked, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, in the after the episode, the actor that plays Aemon talked about that moment. Whenever he finally succeeds, he claims Rhaegar. God, he almost had me say Rhaegal. Claims Vhagar, and he comes back, to the castle at Driftmark. He's like, I've done this, and I'm on top of the world. I can do anything I want. Nobody's gonna tell me anything. And very first thing, after that moment, after experiencing that high, he's approached by the sister and like, "It's you." So yeah, it's me. I'm here. I'm the one that took the dragon. You say it was yours to claim,
I'm
and you
him.
take it.
I'm
He
him.
said, "I'm him. I swear to God, I'm him." But yeah, I mean, that's where crap really starts to pop off, and you see a very violent child fight.
Well, this is like the jumping off point of everything.
Yeah, but
Nothing will ever be the same.
a child fight,
Yeah.
a very violent child
See, it's
fight.
like all of the like this episode
Yeah.
gave for me all the payoff of like the time jumps and the whiplash, and I was so disappointed because I wish I could see more, and I think I always will want like what could have been, you know? But like the story really is about the kids, and it will be about the kids from here on out.
Yeah, that's like in the last episode, we all kind of mourned the death of Sir Harwin Strong and the death of Lena Valerian, but at the same time, they were just vehicles to get the children into the world. That's all they were. As much as we wanted to see the relationship between Rhaenyra and Harwin, and the relationship between Damon and Lena, and just kind of see the duality of those two things. And hey, Damon has two kids. He looks like he's finally happy. The truth is that those two people were just vehicles to get these kids into this world. And the Dance of Dragons is going to involve a lot more of these kids than it would have ever Sir Harwin or Lena. So
They
yeah,
were gonna die no matter what happened.
exactly, yeah.
Sadly, R.I.P. But yeah, the whole fight, basically all the kids that had, I guess, not claim, but relation to the Valyrians versus Aemon, by himself. And it's kind of funny, Aemon was holding his own against all four of them.
He
And
was he's a lot older.
He
He's a lot
was
older than
on a
him.
high.
Is he even older than Jace? Is he
I
like
think
super
so.
older
A
than Jace?
couple years.
I think they're all like within the same like vicinity of each other. Luke is a little bit younger, but
Oh, so you're saying he's riding adrenaline and that's how?
yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. He's feeling himself.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, at one point he picked up a rock and like
Probably about to smash the
he was
dome.
ready to bludgeon somebody's head in, and then once he called Jace and Luke, or he called Jay, I don't remember which one he called a bastard. I think he was about to kill Luke, and then Jace was like, he pulled the knife. He was like, you ain't touching my brother. It's kind of funny because you think back to Alicent talking to Aegon whenever they were picking on Aemon. He's like, "So what? He's a twat." It's like, I don't care if he's a twat. Like, you can berate him all you want to in these walls, but like out in the real world, he's your brother and you have to stand up for him.
Well, and
So.
the first thing Alicent says to Aegon is, "Where were you? Why weren't you with him to protect him?" And Aegon's like, "I don't care about him." And
Was with some wench getting some wine.
well, it's like that is such a like true testament to the family that Rhaenyra has built versus the air quote family that Alicent doesn't have, thinks. Or, you know, she had to have these children. It really was against her like choice or will, but like she didn't do a great job of like teaching them those types of things. They don't care for each other. They don't really even care for her. Like there's no like love lost there.
He can't hear you.
Oh, I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. It was me. It was on my end.
Oh, okay, cool. I was like, huh?
I was like, yo, crap, what happened? And then like the little notification came back down and says, AirPods connected.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, this all leads to the moment. Like, Aemon gets his eye sliced by Jace. He pushed him just a
Which
little bit too far, threatening his brother within an inch of his life,
Luke did it.
threatening, huh?
Luke did it.
Oh, Luke's the one that cut him?
Took his eye out.
Oh, I didn't realize that. My apologies.
Right?
I have a
Yeah.
really hard time distinguishing Luke and Jace. I'm sorry.
Well, Jace is like
One has curly
seven.
hair and the other one has straight hair.
Yeah, one is much older.
Which I think which I think is gonna play a role here in the future.
Ho ho ho. Pick up what you're putting down. But yeah, anyways, Aemon gets his eye sliced, and obviously he runs and tells his mom, tells the family. Everybody's alerted. There's a huge rendezvous in the meeting room. And this kind of brings us to Rhaenyra was showing up late because she was off doing something
On the
else.
beach. She was off on the beach, Alabama-ing.
Yeah, she finally got her and Damon finally got what they wanted after all these years.
Can I just say I couldn't see anything that was happening
Oh yeah,
that
Chelsea
time.
was getting like super long night vibes.
No,
We
like
had
I
to
didn't
try to
even
turn the
have
brightness on the
that hard
screen.
of a time watching The Long Night, but that scene was so freaking dark. I was like, am I blind? Is something wrong with me?
Like we
Yeah,
had
I
to
was
turn the
watching
brightness
it.
on the screen up to where like
Yeah.
the picture didn't even look good.
Yeah, I was watching it in my bedroom, and I was just like, because I usually watch it in the living room, and I'm like, my TV off?
What is happening?
Is the 4K down to 3.5? What's going on?
Yeah,
But yeah, I guess so that I guess that was the point of the whole scene.
I mean they were outside, it was nighttime, I get it, but I was struggling.
I mean, it better be dark out there because they were just out in the middle of the beach, like wide open.
No, they weren't. They were in a yurt, a
No,
random hut.
they
They were
were
in
in
a
a yurt
yurt.
afterwards, like they were making out in the wide open.
Okay,
All
sure.
of a sudden, Emil Blonsky walks out. He's like,
Obama
"Hey, you two,
Obama
Obama
stay. But yeah, so after they take care of business, they hear Vhagar flying,
stay."
and that is what draws them back to the castle. Like nobody summons them. Like, they come back to the castle because of that. And I guess they get kind of get caught up in the commotion. And I'm talking about like this kind of being a culmination, like a buildup of all these storylines. Also, early on the episode, Alicent and Viserys are about to go off to bed, and she's kind of talking to Kristen as she's like veering off away from Viserys, and I can't remember his name now. Dougal Mackenzie, though, the guy that plays or Dougal Mackenzie, Graham McTavish is his actual name. He plays like he's not the
King's
war
Guard.
he's not the war commander, but he's like the right hand, like he's like the
He's
king's main protector,
Viserys's.
right?
Huh?
He's like the king's main protector.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
yeah. He's the King's
he
Guard.
he starts to get a little
Oh
suspicious
yeah, he's super,
of Kristen Cole.
aware of what's going on.
And he even
He's playing the
asks,
long game for sure.
well, he even asks Viserys, he's like, do you want me to accompany Lady Alicent back to her quarters? And Viserys is like, no, you
No,
never
because
have.
he's
Why
an
would you?
idiot.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Kristen Cole, you have the watch. And, once we get into
What is his name?
this room, yeah, it really bothers me because I heard it earlier today and I can't remember. Once we get into this meeting room, like all these like groups of people are like coming into play.
Well, my favorite thing about these big scenes, even in the beginning at like the funeral, is like they don't really even have to use their words. You can just like see who's watching who, who's noticing what, and I love seeing all of that like come full circle. So like both those scenes kind of like fed off of each other in a very like specific way, I guess. So.
Yeah, and before we get into like what actually happened, while Chelsea's trying to find this guy's name,
It's really not that important, but I just need to know now.
they're actually in the official House of the Dragon podcast, Greta Johnson actually made a really good point that like kind of blew my mind, and like this scene like really encapsulate what she's trying to say. In Game of Thrones, one of the most frustrating things until like the last season was there was all these like truly captivating characters, with like captivating character development, personalities, what have you.
Sir Harold Westerling.
What? How did you find it before me? I hate myself.
But yeah, like there was all these characters that like were like truly captivating, but they never crossed paths and they never got to interact with each other until the final season, whenever everything came to a head. The beauty of House of the Dragon is there's all these captivating characters, and they are constantly, like every episode, having interactions, having to deal with one another. And this scene really is literally everybody in the show that we've met, basically, in this room, and everybody has an opinion. Obviously, Allison's pissed because her eye just got cut. And then, not her eye, sorry, her son's eye got cut. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. And Rhaenyra is pissed because Allison is wanting, like,
I think Rhaenyra is
eye
most
for an
upset
eye.
that they called her kids bastards.
Yeah, but like Rhaenyra like takes it up a level. Like I side with Allison in that argument of like, this dude's eye's gone, so like there should be punishment. And Rhaenyra is like, well, they called him a bastard. They questioned his lineage, so he should be questioned harshly. And the way that some of the podcasts I've listened to said, like, whenever they say that he should be questioned sharply, like that means like torture. Like that means like he might not make it out alive, kind of thing. I'm like, he's the son of the king, and like she's just throwing that out there as like not a suggestion, like a request. And like it's just, it's
Viserys really
wild.
just like it really didn't matter what either of them said. He wasn't taking any of it seriously. He was like, can't we all just go back to bed and pretend like none of this happened? Like multiple times, people are throwing out ridiculous accusations like take out an eye for an eye. No, torture the other one. And he's like, can't we all just go back to bed?
V Viserys
He
literally is.
basically just says, can't we all just get
Get
along?
along. He's
So
like,
many
we are a
times, man, Viserys is
family.
just like, let's go to bed. We're family. Stop the infighting. And never have I seen, like, not even a king, never have I seen a character suggest something so many times and everybody just like,
Yeah, he's like,
just
everybody
completely ignores him.
apologize. Nobody apologizes. Nobody even flinched.
Like, and Allison, like, came up against Viserys like in such a strong way in this episode because like once she realized that he wasn't going to do anything to get justice for Aemon, that's when she was like, Kristen Cole,
Kristen.
bring me Lucerys Targaryen's eye.
See, it was Luke.
Oh yeah, fair, fair, fair. And to Kristen Cole's credit, he has a line, and it is cutting out the eyes of kids because he said, I'm just your protector. Like, I'm here as your protector. I'm,
For now.
well, yeah, like in that moment, like in public, like, I'm your protector. I'm not your whipping boy. I'm not just going to cut out some little kid's eye. And she's like, fine, I'll do it myself, and grabs the cat's paw dagger and one just towards Luke, and Rhaenyra steps in front of her. And you know, this is the scene, like, this is the money shot, like, this is what we've seen in all the trailers. This is like the moment that everybody was waiting for when you was watching this show. And when that happened, so many other things happened around it, because Kristen wanted to jump forward, Damon jumped forward in front of
What's
Kristen
your
and
take?
stopped
Where do you
everything.
think Kristen was trying to go? Where was he going for? Was he going for Allison? Was he going for someone else?
I
Like,
think he was going in to make sure, like, I mean,
so
I mean,
he
he saw
never.
Rhaenyra kill that boar. Like, he saw the anger that Rhaenyra has. He's never seen Alicent like take matter into her own hands. So he's probably going as Alicent's protector because he probably thinks Rhaenyra could turn that around real quick.
Well, that and I think you never forget your first love, and I think that Rhaenyra is his first love, and regardless of how much dislike and hate he has for her, I don't think he wants her dead. And so with her going towards the dagger, towards Rhaenyra with the dagger, I think there might have been a situation where he might have tried to stop her because he didn't necessarily want Rhaenyra to die.
Yeah, I think he also kind of thought like, well, if Allison actually like is able
Goes
to
through
make
with this.
contact, she's done for. Like that is, you know, I mean, she did cut Rhaenyra, but if she had like actually killed Rhaenyra or, you know, anything else, there Viserys would have had to have, you know, done something about it. But I also heard someone say that they thought he was like going for the kids, and I'm like, I don't know, I didn't get that read on it, but
Either way,
I love seeing Damon.
Damon stepped in and was like, Damon the whole time was just like
He's just back there
watching, just
laughing.
taking everything in. Just
That's what
dude
Damon
is an
does.
agent of chaos. But as soon as like he felt Rhaenyra was in danger, and in turn her kids and his kids, because the girls were also in there, were in danger, he stepped in
Yeah, I
to
think that
like be
was
their
part of it too,
protector.
is like Damon, like if Kristen was going for the kids, Damon was like, okay, well, that's like where I draw the line.
Yeah, and then going back to Sir Harold Westerling,
He's
like,
watching the whole time.
well, whenever Alicent took the cat's paw dagger, for whatever reason, it made Viserys take a tumble. And Westerling was like looking at him, and then he's like, I'm his protector, but Kristen Cole's moving in, and like, I'm already suspicious of him, and he doesn't know what to do. And in this moment where the knife is drawn and like everybody steps back on their side, like after Aemon's like, it's okay, it was a fair trade, I lost an eye, but I gained a dragon. They all kind of settle back into their sides, and you really see the greens and blacks. Now there's some neutral parties that we don't really know where they're gonna be at. Like you like Harold Westerling, for instance, like he's loyal to the king, and obviously like Viserys isn't gonna go against his wife, because by the time the greens and blacks happens, Viserys is gonna die. So eventually he is gonna die. At one point he
I
will
think
be
next
dead.
episode's the
I
one.
think next episode is too, but so it makes you think, like, where's Harold Westerling gonna
I
go?
think
Where's
he
his
has a
loyalties
soft
lie?
spot for Rhaenyra. I think he always did.
Yeah, I mean, and
I
the
mean, he was
first
there in the
person
first
we see,
episode.
yeah, the first person we see Rhaenyra interact with is Harold Westerling. So that
I
is a
think
good point.
similar to how like the Hound did with Arya, they had, you know, a fun relationship.
Yeah, so you think he's going to her side, to the black side. Then you got the Valyrians, and we've seen Corlys earlier in the episode want to continue to support Jace and Lucerys because he believes them to be Laenor's children. Rhaenys
I don't
is
think he
not so
believes that
easily
they are,
fooled.
I don't think he
But
believes that, but I
he
think
wants to
I
believe.
think He believes that they represent
Yeah, I mean, he
his
has
son's
the
good.
name, and the name is enough for him.
Yeah, he has the iconic line of history doesn't remember blood, history remembers names. And he's absolutely right.
I think there's some blood intermixed in there too,
Yeah, but I mean,
but yeah.
names. History is literally names
At
and
the end of the
words.
day, it doesn't really matter whether the girls or the boys inherit Driftmark because they're gonna marry each other. So it's all gonna be fine.
Yeah. And but like, it makes you question, like, if you didn't already know what was going to happen, you would question where their loyalties are going to lie.
Well,
Because
especially after Lenor gets knocked off at the end of this.
yeah, because in
Or does
Rhaenys'
he?
mind,
Yeah.
well, yeah, in Rhaenys' mind, everything was fine until our kids marry these Targaryens. Now they're dead and they're marrying each other and they're starting their own side. And she could obviously go to that side because she's supporting her grandchildren. But also, like, a lot of her hardships, a lot of their hardships, everything that she didn't want to happen whenever Viserys first visited Driftmark to ask about Rhaenyra marrying Waenor, like, all of her worries really came to a head in this moment because there was a target on everybody's back. And because of it, she not only lost one kid, but she lost another kid. And so,
Well, Lena's death was
yeah,
a lot
I
of
know.
collateral damage.
Yeah,
It just,
but still, like, just the
yeah.
coincidence of, like, a Targaryen coming into their life and wrecking
Rearing
shop.
Kate.
So,
It's not just that, it's people have eyes, boy. People see. Those 3 kids, they all have brown hair. They're not dark skinned. And so, if that rumor were to ever be substantiated, even though he is not Rhaenyra, and he even though he is not, the 3 kids, which would be considered bastards, he would be considered complicit, and he would probably suffer the same fate that they would suffer. And so, yeah, to Rhaenys and to Corlys, especially Rhaenys, who looks at this as a mother, whereas Corlys looks at this as a, somebody who wants to a legacy maker. It worries them, and it worries them to the point where it turns out to be kind of manifest destiny.
Yeah, and then you have Otto Hightower, who's actually the person that snaps Allison out of it whenever she has the knife, because all these people are saying, like, let it go. Like, Rhaenyra is like, now people see you for who they are. And it wasn't until Otto's like, put the knife down, Allison, like, stop this. And is when she snaps out of it. And later on, whenever he's meeting with her, like, she's remorseful for what she did. Like, she feels bad for lashing out and, reaching that breaking point. But Otto's excited. Like, he's hyped. He finally sees her as his
Now, I didn't think you had the chutzpah
equal.
to play this game, but you do, daughter.
Yeah, and then immediately, like, he took her from equal to pawn. Like, okay, now go with your husband, go to him.
Oh, it's so annoying because like you see her finding her own like ground to stand on, and then all of a sudden she's like just listening to what Otto is telling her to do again, and is like
No.
being a pawn, yeah.
And all this leads to the most peaceful wedding in Game of Thrones history.
The only wedding that there was lots of blood though.
The most, there's lots of blood, yeah, lots of cutting.
Cutting their lips with dragon glass.
Look, it
Yeah.
hurt.
And then blood hand
It was really
fasting.
hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah,
Pretty
Chelsea.
sure OSHA had a field day with this wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I what happened, the Targaryen bloodline is protected.
I did
But
have to think.
can we reverse back that it happened? The only way that this wedding could happen is because they hatched that plan with Laenor and with
Carl.
Carl Coral to kind of fake his death so that he can go, over to Essos and be the happiest, happiest gay man, gay warrior alive.
Yeah, it's funny too because Laenor just like he sobered up and he came to Rainier and was like, I haven't been a good husband, I haven't been a good father, and I want to be those things. And it's like, I want to step up. I don't want to be a stepfather. I want to be the father that stepped up. And Rainier is like, cool, but go chase happiness. I don't
He
need you here
has
anymore.
really good intentions, but
Yeah, I like Wayne
he
Orr's
does. He
character.
does. No, he's a good character. And like, like he says, I wish I wasn't born this way. Or he said, I don't understand why the gods made me this way, or I wish I wasn't born this way. And she basically says, no, you're great the way you are. You're a good man. But go chase happiness. There's no point in remaining in an unfruitful marriage for both parties. Go ahead and chase happiness.
But also, she just wanted to marry her uncle, so that was the way that happened.
Yeah.
Well, I think she knew she had to.
Yeah, but
That's
this was like,
like me every night, whenever I'm about to do a podcast at night and it's like 9 o'clock and my wife is like, okay, I'm about to go to bed. I'm like, all right, go to bed, babe. Go to bed. And then I can do my podcast, without worrying about, her not sleeping or anything like that. So
Yeah. Nah, I know what you mean. And then, you kind of alluded to Lainor's fake death. And this is a part that book readers, like people that have actually read Fire and Blood, were actually shocked by, because in the book it alludes to Damon paid Carl to kill Lainor, and then he later tracks down Carl to kill him to cover it up, to take his name out of it. And
that said, there is an unfortunate soul that does get killed.
yeah. The butler definitely dies.
Yeah.
The Valyrian butler definitely dies. But Damon hatches this plot, and we don't see it as a plot until at the end of the episode. Like, we think that it's happening. We think that he's getting Carl to kill Lainor for money to go start a life in Essos. But as we see, it was all a ruse. The burnt body that Rhaenys and Corlys see is, that of the butler that Damon killed before Carl and Lainor even entered his father's chambers. And the last scene that we see in this episode is Carl and a bald Lainor with
No,
his
Carl and Cory Booker.
yeah,
That's Senator Cory Booker.
they got their haircut, and he's got his haircut, and they're rowing out to the ship to presumably sail to the Stepstones and start a new life.
Good for them.
So,
I
and
wonder if it will come back and bite them in the butt.
well, I do think it's important because, like, a lot of times in this episode, you or not this episode, in this series, you could find yourself not so much rooting for Rhaenyra because she makes dumb decisions. And maybe not necessarily rooting for Allison, but sympathizing with Allison. And in this moment, it really, the show kind of chooses a hero for you, because Alicent just tried to cut the eye out of a young child. And Rhaenyra, at first, it made us think that Rhaenyra was saying, hey, I got this husband. He needs to be dead if we're going to get married. At first, that's what we thought, but we realized that, that's not the case. And, he's, the identity of Lainor Valyrian needs to be dead.
Yeah.
And, Rhaenyra is sparing the guy's life. Like, as we said, like, she really did care for him and, wants him to have happiness. So I think that this is the establishment of Rhaenyra as the true hero of this story, at least, like, of this part of the story.
Not of that butler's life, but yeah, sure.
Oh God, RIP to the butler. But all right, I think I've talked all I have to say. Do you guys have anything to add before we get to the rating?
The only thing I have
No.
to say is that these kids have to have like whiplash, because their morning started out with a funeral, and then the next day ended with
The
another
wedding.
a wedding,
They were just
but
chill with
also
it,
someone
bro.
else just died, like their presumable father. Just like,
That is true, yeah.
just like
Like,
brush over the fact that like he died and then
maybe they're in
got married
cahoots
the
at
same
that
day.
point. They're too deep into the game.
I think the kids are clueless, but
Yeah. to Jacerys, it's probably like, damn, because he found out about Harwin being his dad basically, and he's like, damn,
Yeah,
my
like
dad
I got
died,
three daddies, bro. Literally at the beginning
and
of the
then my dad
episode,
died.
he was like, we should be in Harrenhal, for Harwin's funeral, and then she's getting remarried the next day. It's just a lot all happening at once.
Yeah, Jason Luke had some bangers in the funeral scene. Jace saying, "I have equal rights to sympathy," and Luke pulling Jon Snow whenever Corlys is saying that
I
Driftmark will be
don't
yours. He's like,
want it.
"I don't want it,"
Yeah. No, I love the
because then that means
kids.
everybody's gone.
Yeah, that was really sad. I think all the kids were so good. I mean, even Aegon, like, he sucks, but he's funny.
He's the
Yeah.
funniest part of the show.
Yeah, and these last two episodes have offered a lot more, like, comedic relief than the first, however many. I can't
That's
do
what
the math,
kids
but
do.
yeah.
Yep. And we saw a preview of the next episode. Were they the same actors?
No, they're going to be
Oh,
different
they're
people.
already recast. All right, well, say goodbye to
Yeah, this is the
them.
last
Goodbye,
time.
children.
Yeah. Last time jump.
But yeah, so all hearts and mind clear. We want to jump to the rating.
Sure.
I reckon.
I reckon, Spence. All right, here we go. The rating for this episode. I started with Chelsea last time. I'm going with Alex this time.
Two thumbs up.
Think Alex is flipping me off.
Hey,
No. Two.
it's two of something.
There you go. Two thumbs up from Alex. What about you, Chelsea?
Two
That took
thumbs
way too long for you to
up.
decide.
Sorry, because I just read something and then you asked me.
Brain does not compute.
No, my brain was doing too many things. Two
Okay.
thumbs up. I loved it.
I also give two thumbs up. It was good. It had literally everything that makes Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones. Family, politics, dragons, incest, fighting.
I do appreciate we're finally getting more dragons, considering the show is called House of Dragons.
Oh yeah. And I mean, we're
We're only going to
only
get
gonna get
more.
more
Yeah.
dragons. Like it's
Yeah. Oh,
there's
we
gonna
didn't
be
talk about Helena at all. We didn't really talk about her last episode either.
She's doing Lovegood,
She's
just call her
very
that.
important.
Yeah, there's a lot. Targaryens are a very Harry Potter house.
Yes.
Not
Just.
Targaryen, sorry. Yeah, they are Targaryens.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
Targaryens are like
Malfoys.
Malfoys, yeah.
Except Lena's not Malfoy.
She's not,
She's
but
just Lena.
her dad, I'm pretty sure is related to them.
Ah, okay. Cool. That explains the blonde hair. All right, well, yeah. Two
I'm
thumbs up.
lost. What are y'all talking about?
No,
Harry
don't
Potter.
worry.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
You're still a novice on that one,
Yes, I am.
huh?
Sorry.
Absolutely. Well, let's touch quickly on this. We did have a couple bits of news break today. First of all, Michael Waldron will be writing Avengers Secret Wars. Michael Waldron is the guy that wrote Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness and season one of Loki. So he's on a little bit of a hot streak right now in terms of the work he's doing. So, Chelsea, as you just learned this news, how do you feel about it?
Multiverse of Madness was fun. Loki was great. We'll see. Wait, what is
Is
he writing?
he writing season
Secret
two?
Wars. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is he writing season two of Loki?
I think
I
so.
mean, well, did he write it? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think he did write season two of Loki as well.
Already filmed it?
Yeah, the trailer came out D23. Like we didn't get to see it, but
Oh.
they showed them a trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not with it, y'all.
Okay, Alex, how you feel about Waldron?
Great. I mean, a writer is kind of like a coach, like you can't. There's no statistics for a coach. Like,
Yeah.
his work of late has been real good, so I'm hoping he continues that.
Hey, you can say that, man, but Marcus and McFeely, Infinity War and Endgame, like that was on their shoulders and they delivered. So, I mean, a good writer goes a long way. So, I'm excited. I'm excited to have Michael Waldron on there. Like we all said, like we all enjoyed Loki. I enjoyed Multiverse of Madness. The issues I have with Multiverse of Madness wasn't really the story. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, I'm excited for it. And then the other bit of news is a new Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer dropped today. And sure we all got some thoughts. I'm gonna go to Alex here first, man. What was your favorite thing from the trailer?
It just looked great, man. It looked great, and I love that it gave us a little bit more. I love that this trailer showed us that Namor can kind of fly a little bit, and
Yeah, that's kind
bro,
of
it's looking like
weird,
Hermes. Why?
yeah, I know.
I
And
mean,
it finally showed us, the Black Panther suit, and it's very feminine. It's not, there's no way that's Michael B. Jordan reincarnated.
yeah, definitely
So
not
it's
M'Baku.
I don't think it's Nakia
Yes.
either.
No,
Yeah,
like
I
it's
don't think it's
definitely
either.
sure.
Let me get sure.
Yeah, so that and I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. I'm just hyped for this movie, man. This movie looks great.
Yep. I am excited. Chelsea, what about you? What was your favorite thing from this trailer?
Probably Namor. He just looks really good. Looks cool. Looks good. I wish we could see more of Ironheart. I don't really understand why
Oh
she's even in
yes,
it,
and
to be
the
honest.
Iron Heart. The
But
theory with Ironheart and Riri Williams
the
is that it's like a
I
wait,
think
not a
what you're
Wakanda
about to say
exchange
is about to make
program.
me mad.
Well, like at the end of Black Panther, Shuri
Yeah.
is back in Oakland, and she's showing the people the spaceship, and T'Challa talks to her about setting up basically like a not an exchange program, but basically showing people how to use their tech like in Wakanda. And obviously Riri's smart because she reconstructed her own Iron Man suit. So maybe she's like top of her class, and the prize was to go to Wakanda and learn with
I
Shuri.
guess I just hope that she still built her own suit because I feel like that was something that they did.
I 100%
I mean, you see
like
a
we've
little
seen
bit
it.
of it, yeah, but I just don't want them to like water down how actually smart she is with Shuri.
Why do you, why does that throw you off every time? Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the trailer. Honestly, my favorite part of the whole Black Panther thing was the poster. Did I send you the poster?
No, are you not gonna let me finish what I was saying?
I didn't know you. Okay, sorry. You just stopped talking.
Didn't know what was going
Go
on.
ahead. For those of you who are listening, Alex just had to sign off, and it made Chelsea freeze. So go ahead.
Anyway, all I was saying was I don't want them to like take away from the fact that she can and has and will build her own suit, and because Shuri can help her, similar to like what they did with Spider-Man, he didn't really get to like, Tony gave him a suit, and we didn't get to see how smart Peter Parker was until like later on.
Far from home, yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever he's like crafting his own suit and the
Because
stuff that
like
he needs and stuff.
he was more than capable, but
But the thing that I loved the most about the whole Black Panther like hype release was the poster. And you said you didn't see the poster?
didn't send it to me.
Okay, so the poster, if I could just describe this, it's like perfectly symmetrical and like split down the middle, and on the top it's all the Wakanda people. You got Shuri, you got M'Baku, you got Nakia, you got Okoye. I don't know. I don't think Riri's in the poster.
Of
But
course
of
not.
course you have Ramonda, I think is Angela Bassett's character. Queen Ramonda. Sounds right.
Could not tell you.
And then on the bottom though, you have upside down Namor, Atuma, and Atlanteans. It looks so cool. I was like, I could not watch the trailer and see this poster and like be
Be
like it's
satisfied.
probably the best poster I've seen in like a year.
Yeah.
It was very well done. But yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited. We've seen a lot of Namor, but like Atuma is a force to be reckoned with, like in the comics. He's like a big bad, like from under the sea, and Namora. I'm interested to see what they're gonna do with her. And yeah, I'm just excited for this movie. mean, it's been a little bit since we got to see a Marvel movie. I think Thor came out in July, so we've had like 2, 3 months by the time Wakanda Forever comes out. It comes out in November, right?
11th.
November 11th. Yeah, so we still got about a month and a week. So yeah, I'm just excited for more Marvel content. And Chelsea just
You think Naki is pregnant?
oh, I don't know. You really want what's his name? I already forgot. I almost said Azazel. That's not his name. Azuri? Azuri.
Azuri
Thing is
or
Azuri. Yeah, for those of you guys who don't know,
Azuri with an A.
yeah, Azuri is what I said.
And Zuri was his dad's
Forest
brother.
Whitaker. Yeah, for those of you guys that don't know, Black Panther and Storm are married in the comics, and they have a son named Azuri, who has all the powers of his dad and his mom, which makes him just
Not all.
the baddest man pajama of all
He has
time.
lightning powers like Storm,
Yeah,
and he
just the
has
lightning.
Black Panther
Yeah, I
type
mean,
stuff too.
he's super fire. So like, me and Chelsea are holding out hope that
Well, it's not gonna happen now, but
I'm
we
holding out
had
hope.
been holding out hope for a long time.
I mean, honestly, even if we get Azuri and he doesn't have lightning powers, like I'll be a little bummed, but it'll still be cool. Chelsea disagrees so hard. All right, with that being said, I think we're gonna go ahead and give this a close out. It's a long episode. We had a lot to talk about, so appreciate you guys listening to the show. If you're gonna do that, say Later Gators like Moon Knight. Come on, Chelsea, stick with the brand. But with that being said, hope you guys have a great night. Until next time, nerd up and geek out. I don't know why I repeated myself on that, but.
Oh, and the hips hurt.
Chelsea, I can't hit end meeting. It's still recording. Thank you for listening to the Top of Fandom podcast, part of the Believe Network. Our podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Find our podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and positive review, and spread the word if you enjoyed it while we try to grow this thing. Until then, nerd up and geek out.